This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
Once again, I've got lots of scriptures, so you better get your biros out and write them down. Matthew chapter 7. I've titled tonight, Taking the Right Road, verses 13 and 14, The Narrow and the Wide Gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, have you ever been to Melbourne or any big city, and you're on the freeway, stacked with cars, and you're just cruising with the crowd, and then all of a sudden you realise you're going the wrong way. It's not taking you where you wanted to go. And so you've got to find a way off. Now, when we did the Valiant Man course, one of the things they taught there to do was to develop an off-ramp in your life. So when things are not going right, you've got this off-ramp. And it's like that on the freeway when we're in the crowd, just cruising. We need to get off. We need to get off onto that right road. You know, when we get a revelation of these two verses of Scripture, it's quite clear that there's only two ways to go, heaven and hell. The wide road, which is easy and many travel on it, is the one that leads to destruction and hell. But the narrow way is the one that leads to heaven, and only a few find it. And the only way to get onto this road is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can make a way for us to enter along that road. But the wide road is easy, but it leads to destruction and eternal torment. You know, when we look at those around us, as people that I talked to, even one just the other day, got no understanding of where he's headed. Wasn't even interested in the gospel, not even concerned about where he's heading. And Di and I were discussing this, and what we need is for the Holy Spirit to come and give the revelation of just what hell is all about. It is eternal torment. There is a chasm between heaven and hell. There is no crossing over. When you're in one or the other, there's no crossing over. Our opportunity to enter into the living way, into heaven, is now while we're alive here on earth. That's the love of God. That's why he sent Jesus to help us to get onto that way that leads to life. So we need to be praying for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit to give these people a revelation of where they're headed without Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the way from destruction, and he's the way into heaven. He's the way from destruction and the way into heaven. Because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been born with that sin nature. We all need a Saviour, and praise be to God that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to come and give his life as a ransom for our sin. Jesus died on the cross, and that all who truly repent and believe in Jesus, the way is open to enter into the narrow gate into heaven. But when we're on this road, I was thinking through this, and we need to be careful that we don't get distracted. See, we can be doing good things and get distracted. Like it happened to me this afternoon. Diane and I were out cruising, and I called into the servo to get fuel, and the bloke comes in beside in an old Monaro, all done up, 327 Chevy, and I looked at it. I thought, now, when that come out, that's the car I wanted to buy. And I'm looking at it, totally enthralled with it, filled up the Mazda, went inside to pay, and the woman said, what Bowser? I said, I was looking at the Monaro. I wasn't looking at the Bowser. So she had to have a look out the window to see where I was parked because I was distracted. Something else had taken my attention. And we can do that easily in this road of life. There's so many things that will come and try and distract us, try and deceive us, trying to get our attention off where we know we should be going. You know, because the scripture tells us that we have an adversary, the devil. And he's not always the reason for our distractions. But if we follow these things and get off track, he is very quick to get involved in it, and he likes to lead us astray even further. So we need to keep our eyes open. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we get a history lesson here from Paul to the Corinthians of just what happened to the Israelites. So we need to learn from history what happened in the past so that we don't make the same mistakes. And that's what Paul was using this here. It's a warning from Israel's history, warning the people at Corinth to be aware of just the things that can distract us from following the living God, because we're all vulnerable to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Like I say, we are all vulnerable to temptation, but we need to be careful of how we live. Four things that they did there was they got caught up in idolatry. They fell away from worshipping God and they started to worship idols. Idolatry is the worship of anything other than God, anything that takes our time, our thoughts, our energy. And it may not be an idol to bow down to. We may not have an image of something, but there's many things that try to come into our life to take away our attention, to take away our worship. And it can be many things. So we need to be careful of idolatry. Fornication, the sexual lusts of the flesh, all these things that are outside the bonds of marriage. The Greek word for fornication is porneia, which is where they get the word pornographic from. So any of these sexual lusts of the flesh are fornication that are outside the bonds of marriage. This relationship between man and woman was created by God to be in the confines of a man and a woman in marriage. And when that works properly, it is beautiful. Only a passionate love for purity can save us from impurity. We need to have a passion for it. We want a desire for it. And then we can live with that pure life that God calls us into. They put God to the test. They didn't trust God to supply their needs. And at one stage it says here the people of Israel put God to the test by demanding that God give them what they want. God was supplying everything they needed. He was giving them manna from heaven. He caused water to come out of a rock. Their shoes never wore out. The cloud led them by day, the fire by night. He never let them down. He provided everything they needed, but it still wasn't enough. They demanded God give them more, and they were putting him to the test. So we must be careful of the same thing. And they grumbled. It also says they murmured or complained. You know, we're all can get caught up in that one ourselves. We must be careful not to get caught up in grumbling and murmuring. In the book of Jude, we're warned about people who come in who have got their own evil desires and wrong teaching, and they stir up trouble. And Jude says that these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. So we need to be careful. Things don't always go the way we think it should, But we just need to live together in unity and harmony and not be grumblers and complainers. The fact of life is that temptations will come. It's what we do with it that matters. We have a choice. We can either succumb to it or we can resist it. That's the difference. We can learn from Jesus. If we turn over to Luke chapter 4, Jesus was also tempted. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up in a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is written, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus handled temptation with scripture. And it's funny, you know, that Satan was offering Jesus all authority. Satan was speaking to the one who has all authority. He was totally deceived. And the way that Jesus handled these temptations was with authority. He didn't need an off-road. He didn't need an escape vessel. He didn't need any of those things because Jesus has all authority. He could not be tempted. That's why Satan's tempting failed, because he was talking to the one who had all authority. And you know that Jesus has given us that same authority. When we get born again, washed clean by his precious blood and filled with his Spirit, he gives us the authority to use his name. So when we find ourselves being tempted or making decisions or being drawn away, we can stand upon the name of Jesus, take authority over that thing, and get our lives back on track. There's so many things want to draw us away, but as soon as you sense it happening, take stock of it and give Jesus praise. He is worthy of praise. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. "For this reason, he," Jesus, "had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And turn over to chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." See, Jesus understands our weaknesses. He came and lived here on earth as a man. He took on fully the attributes of man. So he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it was like to suffer. So he understands our weaknesses. And that's why when we come to him, we can come with confidence. The scripture said we can come boldly before the throne, because we're coming to one. Not only does he love us, but he also understands what we're going through. That's why we can come boldly. And he wants us to have that relationship with him, because he wants us to come. Jesus wants us with him in heaven. He died for us. He loves us that much that he is longing for us to spend eternity with him. So when we're going through a trial or a temptation or something's happened, he is just longing and waiting for us to come. He doesn't barge in and just take over. He's wanting us to come to him, and his arms are outstretched, waiting, longing for us to have that time with him. All we need to do is to put our faith and our trust in him, and he will deliver us out of all of our troubles. There's another area where we fall into trouble is when we're idle, when we've got nothing to do, when we're sitting around doing nothing. That's when we've got to be careful. Again, we can learn from history. When King David, in his time of idleness, fell into sin, when he was going to war, when he was at work, when he was doing what he should have been doing, he never had any trouble. But when he was idle, sitting at home, doing nothing, in that idle time, he fell into sin. We can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it's interesting because all through the Psalms, we see where King David was in some terrible situations in his life, life-threatening situations, and he called out to the Lord, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him every time. The Lord brought him out of his troubles every time. But when he was idle and that temptation overcame him, suddenly he was too weak to overcome it. He should have done what he used to do when he was in battle. The answer would have been the same. God would have delivered him out of it. But he didn't. He succumbed to that temptation, and the outcome was disastrous. All of these things in Scripture are written down for us to learn from. We don't need to fall into the same things. We just need to read it and apply it into our lives. We just turn over a few pages more to the book of James. James chapter 1, 2 to 18. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he yet tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Yet God's not a God who entices us to sin. For God to do that, that would be totally against his very nature. God's nature is to deliver us out of sin. There are times when he allows us to go through trials, hardships, situations, because it's a testing of our faith. He's wanting us to draw near to him. We go through some tough times because God's wanting us to go deeper with him. He's wanting us to hang on tight to him. And that sometimes those things are not easy, but we will come through it stronger and better. But we must remember that when we are tempted to sin, that's not God. He won't do that. And that's why when we cry out to him in the midst of it, he will deliver us out of it. He will give us a way out. He will give us a word because he loves us. You know, it's interesting that somehow our nature, our whole being, that we are attracted to the forbidden fruit. We are attracted to the things that we aren't allowed to do. I was watching a video clip one day of a park bench that had been freshly painted, and they put on it wet paint, don't touch. And they just left the video camera running and just watched how many people come along and touched it just to see if the paint was wet. And I bet you if that sign wasn't there, people would have walked right by, not even taken any notice. For something, we're just attracted to that forbidden thing. Adam and Eve were attracted to that forbidden fruit. David was attracted to that woman having a bath. The forbidden thing, this seems to attract, that's the sin nature within us. And that's why Jesus came, to deliver us from that. And when we cry out to him, when we put our faith and our trust in him, he gives us the power, he gives us the ability, he gives us the way out, he gives us that off-ramp. Get off that road, get onto the right road, and I will give you life. There's a quote that I read, "The inner desires respond to outward enticement, and sin is spawned. When the inner desires respond to the outward enticement, sin is spawned in our heart. And once that's given birth, that's when we are in strife. That's when we're in trouble. We need to really get a hold of a way off. You know, God wants to build godly character in us. He's a holy God. Therefore, he will do things that will lead us to make us more holy, to make us holy as he is holy. He's always on our side. He's always drawing us nearer to him. Yes, he's not Santa Claus. He doesn't give us everything we want, but he's there to give us everything we need to make us godly men and women, to draw us nearer to him, to give us a firm foundation on which to stand, to give us that ability to stand for him and serve him and love him with all we have. Because it's not just, he doesn't just want to get us saved. He wants us to be, he wants to be able to use us to reach others. He doesn't just come to us, he wants to go through us as well, because there's many in the world that need to hear the gospel. When we have sinful thoughts starting, we need to respond quickly to that conviction of impure attitudes, thoughts and motives, wrong behaviour. We need to confess them and pursue the holy, righteous thoughts that come to us from God's word and reveal to us by the Holy Spirit. This gets us off that wide road and onto the narrow road, when we put our faith and our trust in him. One last reading, Psalm 18. This is a psalm of David. This was after one of his troubles that he had gone into. Death had surrounded him. He felt that death was going to overcome him. But in his distress, he called out to the Lord. And in verses 1 to 3, it says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock. In him I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. I am saved from my enemies." You know, we have the flesh, the world, and Satan, all three trying to get us away from following Jesus. When we have a sense that this is happening, we need to refocus on Jesus and the Holy and his holy word. This is our way off that highway that's leading to death. His word, press into Jesus. The psalmist said, "God sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." So when these things come against us, when we find ourselves being tempted by things of the world or the things of the flesh, you know, we can be tempted by the world just because the world thinks that they know what's best. The world have got their own standards. They've got their own cultures of how things should be done. But when it's not from the word of God, then it's going to lead to destruction. We know how weak the flesh is. We know how wrong the world can be. And we know that the devil's not on our side. So when all three are tempting us or trying to deceive us, trying to distract us, we need to come back to the word, get on our knees, whatever it takes. Maybe you need to ring a friend. Whatever it takes, quickly, let that conviction, because as soon as we get off track, the Holy Spirit will start convicting you. So as soon as that starts happening, do something. Get on your knees, Get on the phone, ring someone you can trust. Don't ring just anybody. Ring someone you can trust and go to God. Go to the Word, the source of life, and He will deliver us out of them all. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. It truly is that lamp for our feet and the light for our path. You show us the way to go. And not only do you show us the way to go, but you equip us to be able to do it. Even in our weakness, you are there, ever ready. As soon as we turn to you, we can have confidence and knowing that you are ever ready to help us. You are our ever ready help in our time of need. So Jesus, we thank you and praise you. I want to thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. I thank you for your amazing love. I thank you for your precious blood. Could I just ask right now in this time of prayer, is there anyone here who's never ever invited Jesus to come into their heart? Is there someone who's never ever made Jesus Lord of their lives? You know, this is the most important decision that any of us could ever make, because only Jesus can break the curse of that sin nature. Only Jesus can lead us on that narrow road to heaven. So if you've never ever invited Jesus into your heart, can I encourage you to do it? He loves us. He died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And so, Lord, as we go, Lord, to go back and spend time in fellowship, may our fellowship be sweet. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.